The broadcast is now starting. All attendees are in listen-only mode.
It is a pleasure to introduce our next instructor based in London. Massimo Fujeda started his career as a portfolio manager in 1988 at JP Morgan Investment Management in London, where he rose to become head of the Global Balanced Group with overall responsibility for international balanced portfolios. In 1999, he left JPMIM to become Chief Investment Officer and Director General at San Paolo IMI Asset Management in Milan, where in 2000 he became Chief Executive Officer. He left the company in 2001 to start Horatius, which was incorporated in 2004 as an advisory company and in 2007 became an asset management company. He was a founding shareholder, a board member, and the CIO of Horatius. In 2012, Massimo left Horatius and went back to London, where in 2014, he founded Bayes Investments. Massimo graduated in economics at LUISS, Rome, and holds a master's degree and a doctorate in economics from the University of Oxford. Massimo also taught behavioral finance in the Master in Economics course at Bocconi University in Milan and served in the editorial board of the Financial Analysts Journal. In 2012, Massimo started the Bayes blog at massimofujeta.com, which has acquired popularity in the value investing community. So on behalf of the MOI Global membership community, a very warm welcome back to you, Massimo, to this forum. Please go ahead.
Thank you, John. Glad to be here again. As in the past, let me start with a brief summary of past recommendations. The table here reports the price on the day of the presentation, the price on the date of last year's presentation, the 11th of October, and the latest price, well, the 1st of October price. As you will remember, last year we were at the start of what turned out to be a severe correction throughout the fourth quarter. A year or so later, two of our stocks are ahead, FinLogic and TIP, and three are behind, including last year's recommendation, Landi Renzo. One in particular, Datalogic, is heavily down. Its price nearly halved, hit by indiscriminate selling, to which we ourselves had to participate in order to face redemptions, selling first at around 30 euro in February last year, and at around 22 in November. We had to do the same with LaDoria while we kept FinLogic and TIP. As you can see in the last column, however, all stocks except Landi Renzo are up since they were first presented. And that is a price only return to which you would have to add a cumulative dividend yield. Again, that includes Datalogic, which has been going through a rougher patch earnings-wise in the last few quarters, mainly due to increased investment spending. But it's now priced at around 12 times earnings, which is very low, both in absolute terms and relative to its competitors. This is one instance of a more general phenomenon, the underperformance of mid and small cap stocks relative to large caps, which has severely hit Italian stocks, in particular throughout 2018 and so far this year. I won't expand on this here, but I have written about it in a recent note on our 12-month outlook, which I hope some of you have read. If not, I invite you to join our mailing list on our website at bayesinvestments.com, which will allow you to receive our updates, including the upcoming third quarter investor letter and the monthly fact sheets. I'll just say that our outlook is very positive. Our fund has done much better than the small cap index, actually twice as good as the return. And we are confident it will continue to do so, as small caps are likely to catch up with large caps in the next few months, as investors return to Italian stocks in a more discerning fashion following the replacement in August of the five-star Lega government with an unambiguously pro-EU new government supported by a five-star Democratic Party coalition. Let's now move on to today's recommendation. The company is called Expert System. It is a world leader in artificial intelligence and semantic technology, where its flagship product, Cogito, delivers text analytics and language understanding that facilitates the unstructured extraction of information from large pools of data, so-called big data. Cogito was created some 20 years ago and has been developing and evolving since then. So what does Cogito do? As you can see on the slide, it transforms messy, chaotic, unstructured information into ordered, insightful, and actionable knowledge. As we all know, the issue with data today is no longer power and speed, gathering it comprehensively and accessing it promptly. The problem is not having too little data, but too much of it. According to some estimates, 2.5 quintillion bytes of data, that is one followed by 18 zeros or a billion billion, is created every day. Customer transactions, product data, market intelligence, emails, and social media, and so on and so forth. As the company says in its presentation, businesses are producing the text equivalent of a new Library of Congress every day. As T.S. Eliot famously put it in many decades ago, the problem is to find knowledge lost in information. Now, I'm not sure about getting wisdom out of that knowledge, let alone the verse that precedes the two, where is the life we have lost in living? But Cogito does a great job in transforming data into knowledge. It does so by combining machine learning with semantic analysis that is able to achieve a complete understanding of a text as a person would. Based on patented AI algorithms, Cogito mimics the human ability to read and understand any textual concept. At the core of Cogito is a knowledge graph called SensiGrafo, there in the red, which gives a representation of knowledge reflecting the richness of how knowledge is structured. Knowledge is organized in what they call syncons, or groups of synonyms. Each syncon is a node in the knowledge graph linked to other nodes through semantic relationships in a hierarchical structure. In this way, and I'm quoting from a document on their website, which is attached to the presentation here, each node, in addition to its meaning and attributes, is enriched by the characteristics and meanings of the nodes that are above or below it. Each of these links identifies a kind of relationship that links the concept in a language, and the links are principles used to organize the concepts in the knowledge graph. The result of Cogito semantic processing is a cognitive and conceptual map of text, some 2 million concepts and entities, and 6 million relations, giving a structured representation of previously unstructured text with a very high level of accuracy. Cogito is currently available in 14 languages. I'm not going to take more of your time going to more details. I recommend you read the document. But the bottom line is that Cogito is a best-in-class, quite unique software that makes sense of large quantities of unstructured data and does so better than mere machine learning. The uniqueness and the validity of Cogito has been amply recognized by the likes of Gartner and Forrester, and the company has received many important awards in the last several years and has raised the interest of larger companies, Google included. Direct competitors tend to be smaller and privately held companies. There is no quoted precise equivalent anywhere in the world of expert system. Anyway, I hope I've told you enough to explain why the company was one of the companies I wanted to see before launching the Made in Italy fund. My first meeting with the CEO, Stefano Spaggiari, in their offices in Modena, in Emilia-Romagna, was back in 2015. The stock then entered the portfolio at inception in May 2016 and never left. We bought it at the time at 2.1 euro per share and subsequently added to it over time. It was then a very small and loss-making company with 2015 revenues of 16.6 million, a 4 million operating loss, and a market cap of around 50 million. The challenge was to figure out whether it could eventually turn into a larger and profitable company. As the graph here clearly shows, holding the stock has been an exercise in patience. The price went quite steadily down to reach a bottom of 2.1 euro at the end of 2018, down 19% in the year. Even in 2017, when our fund returned 36%, Expert Systems fell 24%. Still, we bought more stock in 2017 and did not sell any in 2018, despite the market downturn. Why? Because as we kept talking to Mr. Spaggiari every few months, we shared and discussed with him his expansion strategy. This involved turning the technology, the Cogito technology, which had been sold until then through outside vendors on a perpetual license basis, often involving costly ad hoc solutions, into products sold directly by an internal sales force on a recurrent license basis. As you can see in this slide, the expansion required resources through several capital calls. Shares outstanding went from 25 to 36 million, and a net debt was about 7 million. But eventually it paid off. Today, Expert System is an international public company. Free float is around 65%, which is quite unusual in Italian small caps, where companies tend to be owned by a controlling shareholder, with branches in US, UK, France, Germany, Spain, and of course Italy, with local technical and sales teams, and 230 employees. 2018 revenues almost doubled to 29 million. More than half of revenues are generated outside Italy now, 33% in Europe and 23% in the US. Today, Cogito can be implemented on a different platform, on different platforms, and has been channeled into different products as vertical components for specific industries. This dramatically reduced sales cycles and increased margins. Let's look at the main applications, or some of the main applications. In banking and insurance, Cogito is used for customer care, customer intelligence, compliance, and anti-money laundering, cognitive automation of claims management, where if you look at the websites, you get some examples of very substantial and concrete savings in money and time spent in analyzing and completing claim management. Contract integrity, customer interaction, risk management, and so on and so forth. The number of companies in this sector are large companies, important companies like AXA, Zurich, Lloyds of London, Generali in Italy, ING Direct, and among others. Then in media and publishing, Cogito is used for content enrichment, product innovation, and editorial productivity. Wolters Kluwer, Sage Publication, AFP, they use Cogito. In government defense and intelligence, their product is called Cogito Intelligent Platform, is used for cybersecurity, fraud protection, and risk assessment. In life science and pharma, the software is used for information management, R&D, and market intelligence. And then in a number of sectors, spanning from manufacturer, oil and gas, IT, telecoms, utilities, Cogito is used for knowledge management, customer support, corporate intelligence, risk mitigation, and what is called robotic process automation. Now, more than 90% of revenues comes from recurring licenses rather than perpetual licenses, up from 40% in 2017, thus creating a much more predictable revenue stream. Profitability and financial stability are not there yet, but what happened this year is that all of a sudden the message got through and the stock price tripled from 1.2 to 3.6. And so did market cap to 120 million, thus allowing me to present the company here. John requires a minimum 100 million market cap, which by the way excludes quite a few of my current positions, stocks that, like Expert System, I see growing to and beyond the size sometimes in the future. Progress is not going to be linear. There will be bumps on the way as the company ramps up investment in sales and marketing. And there will be issue with year-on-year comparisons. There's been one recently as the company reported the first half results. And you can see the volatility of the stock price. Expert System will become cash positive before becoming profitable. Amortization of intangible fixed assets, which are mainly development costs, is about 8 million a year. Valuation wise, 120 million market cap divided by 29 million sales is 4x. Enterprise value at 123 million divided by 3.3 million EBITDA gives 37 times at the current 11% EBITDA margin. It is often the case with Italian stocks, and this is actually one of the main rationale of being invested in the Made in Italy fund, is that this is a substantial discount to much larger US companies in the same space. I've taken here 3 as an example, but there are more. As I said, there is no quoted company that does exactly what Expert System does, but the three that I've chosen are in the sort of same space. I take it for granted that you are past the trite and useless distinction between value and growth stocks. Growth is interesting only if there is value in it. Here is a stock that after tripling in price this year, still sells at 4x sales less than half than it would do in the US. On EV EBITDA, I use 3.3 million, which is what FactSet reports to compare apples and apples, but the company reports 4.6 million, which would make EV EBITDA 27 times versus companies that are still EBITDA negative, as you can see in the table, or Qualys, which has a higher EBITDA margin, which is where Expert System will go in the next 3 to 5 years as revenue are expected to double and cost increase at a much lower pace. So there is little doubt in my mind that the stock price will continue to do well as the company continues to execute on its strategic expansion. Commenting on Expert System in our second quarter letter, I wrote about drawing three lessons from it. First one is that when a stock sells at an ample margin of safety to its intrinsic value, the investment risk is small and the potential reward is large. Sooner or later, the price will catch up with value. And showing that patience is a value investor's key virtue. Two, as investors should continuously test the validity of an investment case. But in the case, if the case holds up to the challenge, they should not be swayed by adverse price movements. As Seth Klarman bluntly puts it in his book, Mr. Market knows nothing. And the third is that we've been repeatedly stressing in our letters, the Made in Italy Fund is not a country fund. We do not invest in Italy as a country. We invest in Italian companies with a market capitalization of less than 1 billion quoted on the Milan Stock Exchange. We do so because Borsa Italiana is a good place to find great companies at attractive valuations and because we have the experience and expertise to find them. The point is further expounded in a blog post that I believe John has added to the Manual of Ideas website. I will just add here in the end and like to stress the importance of having a strong personal and regular relationships with a company's top management, which I think is key to assessing the validity of an investment case, at least to the same extent as studying the balance sheet and doing the numbers. And this is a key aspect of what we do and an important driver and explanation of our performance. Thank you for your attention, and I'm ready to take your questions.
Massimo, thank you very much for this presentation and the interesting idea. A reminder to everyone listening, if you do have a question, feel free to type it into the online interface at this time. Perhaps we could start with a long-term competitive picture here. The company is attacking potentially very large markets, and you mentioned that even Google perhaps had interest or was aware of the company. Other than if it does not get acquired, do you worry that over time it could get eclipsed by the likes of Google that will attack similar problems with greater resources?
Well, this is the worry in any of these type of companies, right? They get pushed out of the market by bigger competitors. But experience teaches us that in these kind of very specific niches, if anything, Google would like, or a larger company, like to buy rather than develop afresh. Remember that I told you that the AI algorithms that Expert System has developed over the last 20 years, so it's a huge, long investment period, are patented. And I've obviously talked to Spaggiari about this several several times, and it's a regular topic of conversation, that he thinks there is no way that anybody could really replicate what Expert System has done over over many years. So the alternative for the likes of Google would be to buy the company, which Mrs. Pajari rightly says, you know, if at the right price, I would sell. So to answer your question, I don't think that's a likely case. I think that Google would probably be much more willing, and would be easier for them to buy the company. And of course, they would do it at a much larger price.
Can you talk
about strategy here? Just to finish on this point, the strategy here for Spaggiari, of course, is to get much bigger before an event like that would happen.
Right. And can you shed a little bit more light on management incentives or management's end game in light of the potential of getting sold? Is that the goal for management, or would they be fine staying independent long term?
Okay, Spaggiari is the CEO, as well as other key employees, including the chairman and a few others, have a stake in the company. I think it's around, I would say, 5 to 10% each, if I remember well. So that's and remember, this is 65% of the company's free float, which is unusual. And there is a stock option plan in the company to keep to benefit the sort of the second tier of key employees. So definitely, the goal here is to see the company grow over time. This is not something that's been developed over time. And remember, we're talking about 20 years to sell the company at one point. They would like to develop independently over time. Obviously, as I said, if a bidder comes at a large price, they will be able to consider it, but that's not the purpose of the enterprise, definitely.
On the capital allocation side, is there anything you might prioritize differently than the management is doing?
Well, no, that's what I was trying to, the major point I was trying to convey. The main issues that we've been discussing over the years with the CEO is precisely a change in the sales and marketing organization of the company, and this is one of the interesting parts of my role, is to have a say, is to have some sort of strategic discussion with management to figure out how to improve things. And in particular with this company, we've been discussing with him, and he's been sharing with me his effort to turn what started as being a product sold with a perpetual license from outside vendors, software vendors, and that's creating all sorts of ad hoc costs and problems of implementation, and transforming that into a much more efficient and linear or sales organization, where the product is organized by vertical sectors and sold as on a recurring license base to a number of clients and companies sector by sector. This has been the effort in the last 3 or 4 years, and as I said, it started to bear its fruit in a big way, and that's what's been reflected into the stock price. And now I think the structure is such that it is well geared to a further stage of expansion. And as you said, the potential use of the product and of the platform, and it is really, really large. So the company is thinking in terms of doubling its sales in the next 3 or 4 years. By the way, they will shortly publish, produce a new 3-year plan. But I wouldn't be surprised that the take up is faster than that. So it's really a matter of execution, and the main issue is being for me to form an idea on whether the management and the structure of the company was up to the job. But once I sort of decided that that was the case, it was really pretty easy, if you wish, if you want to just sit there and wait for the stock price to reflect that, which eventually has. And but I think we only seen the start of that.
Other than high-level financials like revenue and EBITDA, are there other data points one could track over time to validate or challenge the thesis to essentially get a better sense for traction?
Well, obviously, cash production, right? In the ramp up to the current stage, of course, the company has been using quite a lot of cash, and the previous sales organization was such that working capital had been an issue, and that's why the company had to resort to several capital calls, and they had bonds and stuff to replenish that. But as the product is ramped up and returns to scale start to kick in, we're modeling cash to be to turn free cash flow to turn positive. At the moment, it's still negative because there's been quite a bit of investment, and the company will produce cash before actually start producing profits, accounting profits, simply because there is quite an important amortization cost every year, which is the amortization of the development cost of the product. So cash flow production should kick in a positive way in the next 2 or 3 years. And that's something that needs to be monitored. But other than that, the company has quite a simple structure. It's R&D in headquarters, and then a sales and marketing force throughout the various countries which I mentioned in the US. UK has been expanding very rapidly in the last year or so. France, Germany, and of course Italy.
I'll take another question from the queue. Have you thought about the amount of investment that would be required for another company to produce a similar system to Cogito?
Again, this is something that's it's not being created out of the blue. It's a result of 20 year of thinking of investment. So it is tough. It is as I said, there are a number I've explored and I've talked to Spaggiari about. I've explored a number of I've seen there are the number of smaller privately held companies in Switzerland and in Germany. There's one in Italy as well. So that tend to do the same things in the same space of semantic technology, but Cogito is far superior product, and that is being testified by the several awards that the product has gained over the years and recognitions by the likes of Gartner and Forrester. And again, if Google talks to them rather than other people, it must be some mean something. By the way, sort of people interested in Cogito include the U.S. Defense Department. Although Spaggiari cannot really expand on that much because of the sensitivity of the topic, it is one of the companies that the Defense Department wants to talk to, and that's again a testimony of how good the product is.
Great. Well, I'm not showing any further question at this time, so Massimo, I'd like to thank you very much for being with us again this year and sharing this idea with our community. We appreciate it.
My pleasure as usual, and thank you for having me.
Thank you everyone for listening in and asking questions. This does conclude our last live session of today. We will have more live sessions tomorrow. In the meantime, we will be releasing sessions that have been recorded in recent days on our website, so I encourage you to take a look there. Goodbye for now.